When the Taliban took control of Afghanistan, it launched its interpretation of strict Islamic law. Restrictions included a ban on women working or going to school. Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, had been one of the country's most liberal cities. Many women there were attorneys, doctors, teachers, and did not wear a veil. Today, women in Kabul are largely confined to their homes. It's only in the small area the opposition controls in the north of Afghanistan that women are still free to work and to study. NPR's Anne Garrels has this report from Faizabad, the capital of the opposition government.
When the Taliban swept into Kabul in 1996, 10-year-old Miriam Mursal was locked out of her school. Instead, she had to surreptitiously visit a private tutor. If asked by the religious police where she was going, she lied. She said she was visiting a relative. Her family was convinced the Taliban would eventually have to relent. But finally, 2 years ago, they fled the Afghan capital for the opposition-held province of Badakhshan. Far poorer than Kabul, the region nonetheless offered certain freedoms, among them the right to educate girls. Now, in her black uniform and white headscarf, 15-year-old Miriam attends the Makfi School for Girls in Faizabad. The classroom walls are chipped. The white chalk on the worn blackboard is barely visible. There's no electricity, and wooden boxes pass for chairs. But 6 hours a day, Miriam and her schoolmates are taught everything from chemistry and biology to history and Islamic studies. Most of the girls say they want to be teachers, engineers, or doctors. Indeed, the head of the local hospital is a woman. There is no legal impediment here for women to work outside the home side by side with men. But here in the remote northeast of Afghanistan, tradition can sometimes be as powerful as law. Girls' schools have existed here in Badakhshan for 50 years, but until 2 years ago, only 4% of girls actually got an education. To encourage families to send their children to school, the UN's World Food Program came up with strong inducements for this poverty-stricken region. Each boy who attends school with no absences would get 27 pounds of wheat a month. A girl would receive wheat plus 10 liters of cooking oil. In a little over a year, the percentage of girls attending school has jumped to 25%, though it's true only a very few still reach the 12th grade. There has been no resistance from local religious leaders, and teachers who receive a government salary of only $1 a month also receive monthly food packages, so they'll continue to work and the schools will stay open. Even though the UN has recently withdrawn their foreign staffers from Afghanistan for security reasons, the Food for Education program continues under the supervision of local employees. It's a stunning sight here to see the faces of so many teenage girls. But at the back of the classroom, chadors hang in a row. Before they go out on the streets, the girls must put on these blue pleated veils which cover them from head to toe. There's a square of mesh through which they can peer. Unlike Taliban-controlled areas, this is not ordained by law, but by custom. These teenagers insist they like the chador, though some of their teachers who've lived elsewhere under more liberal Afghan regimes confess they hate it. Shireen, a teacher, says the opposition government provides women with most, though not all, of their rights. Women still can't initiate divorce, and teachers say they resent their husbands taking on a second or third wife as allowed under Islam. But at least women here are free to study and work. As she dons her chador, 56-year-old Shireen states that half Afghan society is women, and society needs us. She says Afghans are already a century behind the developed world, so if women don't get an education, the country will fall even further behind. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Faizabad.